morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for his love to us. We thank you also for the Holy Spirit who teaches us God's Word. And we pray this morning that he might teach us some things that will be helpful for us and instructive to us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we were to title the 7th chapter of Romans, we would have to say it was powerless sanctification. Powerless sanctification, or how not to do it. How not to do it. Today we see a lot of times in advertising in magazines these do-it-yourself kits. Well, there was a cartoon written one time, some time back, and it was talking about these do-it-yourself kits. And this guy walks up to, was in one of these little shops that has all these kind of kits, you know, do-it-yourself kits. And he was all bandaged up. He had his arm in a sling, and he had some wrapping around his head, and he had a cast on his leg. And he hobbles up to the counter, and he's sort of a meek-looking fellow, and he asked the man behind the counter, he says, "Do you have a kit that undoes it, or undoes it?" And this is what the book of the chapter of Romans is, the 7th chapter of Romans is, how to undo it, or how not to do it. We need to, as we're going through the book of Romans, we have seen the 6th chapter, and we have begun to get into the part where we find out how to live the Christian life. And the first 5 chapters tells about salvation, how to be saved. And then beginning at the 6th chapter, it's talking about sin in our life, how we don't have to be under the power of continuous sin in our life, nor do we have to be under the power of occasional sin in our life. We are free because of our position in Jesus Christ, because of our having been born again. We are free in Jesus Christ. Now, the 7th chapter, you have to go through the 7th chapter before you can get to the 8th chapter experimentally. Now, a lot of people try to skip the 7th chapter. In fact, we have a lot of people today who believe in a second work of grace. They believe that once you're saved, then you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you can skip the 7th chapter of Romans, but there's no such thing. The Apostle Paul was saved on the Damascus Road. And sometime after he was saved on the Damascus Road, he went to the backside of the desert and stayed back there for 3 years. And while he was back there, God was training him to be an apostle. He called him to be an apostle. And as soon as he got back from the backside of the desert, he began to write Scripture. He began to write it down. He wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, was the first thing that he wrote. And so on and so forth. And as he begins to progress in his life, he comes to the conclusion of the 7th chapter of Romans. Now, we won't get into actually the meat of the thing or the whole thing this morning, but we will set some precedents this morning and some things that we need to know to realize that a person who is saved and has received the Holy Spirit inside of his body. And we saw from the 5th chapter, the 5th verse, that once we trust Jesus Christ our Savior, we do have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The people at Corinth had the Holy Spirit, and they were very carnal Christians. They were out of fellowship. They were doing all kinds of things that they should not be doing. They were living in the 7th chapter of Romans, but were not realizing it. Now, I don't know if you've ever realized that you live in the 7th chapter of Romans. I remember the first time I ever recognized this in my life. I had been saved for several years. I was through college. I was out preaching, and I was working at a camp in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was reading this book, and it was on the Christian way of life, and some guy told me that this book is the greatest book on the Christian life that he had ever read. So I bought it and began to read it. And as I began to read it, I began to realize that this little book, by the way, was a false book. It wasn't the best book on the Christian life. It was how not to do it. It was said how to do it, but actually it was telling you how not to do it. He was telling you, you've got to get out and you've got to live a Christian life, and if you aren't sincere and you aren't earnest about it and you don't do everything you can to do the right thing, then something's wrong with you. You're not right. And this is wrong. The Christian life is not you doing it. It's not a do-it-yourself kit. Well, what kind of kit is it? Listen, the Christian life is the supernatural way of life. The Christian life cannot be lived by a human being. It can only be lived by God, the Holy Spirit. But you see, the wonderful thing about it is we have the Holy Spirit in our life or in our body. And He wants to live the Christian way of life out through us. And we have to recognize that we are hopeless and we are helpless and we cannot do it ourselves. And then depend upon God, the Holy Spirit, to do it through us. And friends, that's when the abundant life comes. But you must recognize that you're hopeless and you're helpless. As we said at the outset, this chapter tells about the powerless sanctification. We are sanctified. We are set apart unto God. If you trusted Jesus Christ, your Savior, friend, you're set apart unto God. But until you realize, until you know some things, you are powerless. You're tossed to and fro as a ship on an ocean in a storm without a rudder. There's no power in your life, and there's no peace, and no happiness, and no joy. Well, the powerless life. There's an old preacher of the past generation who used to go out and preach to the Navajo Indians. And he was teaching this seventh chapter of Romans, and he did the kind of teaching, you know, that you talk back and forth. You just sort of relax, and you're sitting around. Of course, these old Indians were sitting around a circle there, and he was just teaching them the Bible, and he was trying to explain to them. And the seventh chapter of Romans, and finally, one of the old men in the tribe raised his hand, and he says, "Doctor," says, "is it like this? You have inside of you a white dog and a black dog, and they're always fighting." The old man said, the preacher said, "Yes, you know, that's right. That's, you're on the right track." And he knew he was getting through to him, and he says to the old man, he was the chief, he says, "Chief, which one wins, the white dog or the black dog?" And he sat there for a minute and scratched his head, and he says, "The one I say sick 'em to." Now, you have a white dog inside of you, and you've got a black dog inside of you. We call the black dog the old sin nature. We call the white dog the human spirit, you see. We are born again, and we have a human spirit that's alive and that can understand God. We also have the Holy Spirit inside of us. Now, which one wins? You've got to learn to say sick'em to the Holy Spirit and not to the old sin nature. Because, you see, when you say sick'em to the old sin nature, and this is the pig nature. I hesitate to call it a pig nature because the first time I preached on the seventh chapter of Romans, I called it the pigs and the lambs, you know. And I was talking about it, and some of them went out the door, back door, saying that I called them a bunch of pigs. Well, some of them were acting like a bunch of pigs, all right. You know, a pig has a pig nature. He's born that way. And you can take a pig and you can bring him into your home and you can give him a bath. And you can put some channel number 9 on him. And you can put a bow ribbon on his tail and just fix him all up, you know, and you can file his nails. And you can just clean him all up and you can make him eat real good food, all kind of good food. Just have it just as clean as it could be, but don't leave the door open. Because as soon as you do, he's heading for the mud puddle. Why? He's a pig by nature. On the other hand, you know, you have a little lamb. Now, you don't have to put any perfume on a lamb at all. You don't have to put a little nice bowl in there. You don't have to wash him and clean him all up. I guarantee you no lamb will ever step in a mud puddle. They hate mud. In fact, when they go down to get something to drink at the pond, if the water is moving at all, they won't drink. It's got to be perfectly sealed for them to drink because they're afraid they might get wet or dirty. You see, a lamb has a lamb nature. A pig has a pig nature. Now, you have within inside of you a pig and a lamb. And the pig says, "Oink, oink," and the lamb says, "Bah." Now, depends on which one you're going to court, the pig or the lamb. All right, let's look at Romans 7 for just a moment. Know ye not? And I know some of you don't like to hear that word, because every time we see know ye not, we're talking about knowing something, and you've got to put on your thinking cap and you've got to listen and to learn something if you're going to know something. Now, they try to cram all kind of information in your head in high school and junior high and elementary school. When you get to college, they keep on cramming it in. And then you come to church and that preacher talks about knowing stuff all the time. Well, let me tell you, if you don't learn this book, you'll never know how to court the lamb. You'll never learn how to say sic'em to the white dog. You'll be courting the pig, and you'll be producing little bitty pigs. Now, that's what Romans 7 is talking about this morning. Now, which do you want to be? You want to produce the pig, or you want to produce the lamb? All right, know ye not. You've got to know something, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Now, he was writing to people there at Rome who knew, well, some of them were Jews, and they knew the Mosaic law, and those who were Romans knew the Roman law. Now, regardless of whether it's Jew law or Roman law, it doesn't make any difference. These people knew the law. He says, now, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. As long as a man's alive, he's under some kind of a law. You see? As long as we're alive, we're under the law. For the woman who hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. All right, here's the illustration, he says. I want to illustrate this thing now. The Christian life, I want to illustrate. We have a woman over here, and we have a man. Now, they are married together. Now, as long as this man is alive, then the woman, and they are married, she is under him, and she has to do what he says because the man is the head of the house. But if the husband dies, what happens, all right? She is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. The husband has no more authority over her. She is completely out from under the husband if he is dead. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another of a different kind of a man, she shall be called an adulteress. All right, here's a woman, and she is married to a man, and then she goes out with another man. She's an adulterer while she's going out with that other man. But if her husband be dead, but if the first husband is dead, then can she go out with the second one? Yes. She is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, this is the principle, or this is the illustration. A woman is married to one man, and she is to do what he says, and she can go out with him, and she can produce children as long as she's married. But if she goes out with another one, it's wrong. But if this one is dead, then she can go out with this one, and it's right. That's what he says. Wherefore, my brother, ye also are become dead to the law. Now, you see, we have a pig nature. And the pig nature has a counselor, or has a strength, and that's in the law. But we have a new nature now, you see. If the old one is dead, we are dead to the law by the body of Christ, you see. Because of the body of Christ, because Christ died on that cross, he was buried, he arose again the third day. And we are united to the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we are free, you see. That ye should be married to another of a different kind, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. The first husband is dead. We are married to a second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are free from the old sin nature and the law. Now we are married to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Spirit. So we can produce unto the second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit, rather than the old sin nature and the law. See? Now you see, we're born again to what? Produce. We're saved to serve. We're not saved, as one guy says, to sit. We're saved to serve. Now, a lot of people go to church and they just go there and they sit and that's all. They just occupy a pew, a portion of a pew. And that's all in the world they do. they produce nothing whatsoever. As far as God is concerned, and as far as service to Him is concerned, nothing. They think. That's what they think. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. And that's all that really matters. Oh, is that right? Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says, no one sits still. Either you've got it in forward or you have it in reverse. Either you're producing fruit under the Holy Spirit or you're producing fruit under the old sin nature. Either you're producing lambs or you're producing pigs. Now you can take your pick. Whether you want to produce lambs or pigs. Notice the fifth verse. For when we were in the flesh, the old sin nature, the sinful impulses, is actually the way it should read, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. You see, when we were married to the pig, we were producing fruit unto death. Now, what is this talking about? All right, turn with us to Galatians, the fifth chapter. Galatians 5:19. It's on page 1270 if you have a Bible like mine. Galatians 5:19. We'll wait just a minute till you find it because we want you to see it in God's Word. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifested. The works of the flesh, the works of sin, the works of the old sin nature, the works of the pig are manifested. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, faction, seducing, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling or nightclubbing, and the like, or such like. Now, things like this are the fruit of the pig. Anytime you have envy, you're producing the fruit of the pig. You see, these are little pigs that you're producing. You come up with a heresy, a false doctrine, wrath, strife, you hate somebody, envy, get drunk, fruits of the pig. Now, there are other places that give you some of the fruit of the pig besides these, and that's not all of it, because it says, and such like, and things like this. See. So, when you're married to the first husband, you're married to the law, you're married to the old sin nature, you're producing that fruit. The sixth verse, but now ye are delivered from the law. When you become dead to the law and to the old sin nature, you're delivered from the law, that being dead in which we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the law, of the letter. You see, now we can serve in the newness of the... We can be married to the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can be married to the Holy Spirit. And we can produce fruit unto God. And if you still were in Galatians, the fifth chapter, you can look at the 21st and the 22nd verse, and it says, the fruit of the Spirit, the production of the Spirit, the Lamb, are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. So, which are you going to produce? Fruit of the old sin nature? You see, you're dead to the first husband if you're saved. But is he dead to you? That's the problem. You see, he never quits calling you up and asking you for a date. He always wants to go out. See, he's always inside that conflict, saying, oh, you don't need to know God's Word. You're saved, you're going to heaven, that's all that really matters. You don't need to witness to anybody, that's the preacher's job. Oh, that's those other folks' job. I'm no fanatic. I'm not going to go crazy about this thing. I'm going to let everybody else do it. Well, suppose everybody else did that. Then everybody would go to hell, and so would you, because no one would have told you. If somebody hadn't been just a little excited about it, a little earnest about it, a little sincere about it. Somebody had to be to tell you. Well, suppose that you're not. All right, then you're producing fruit under the pig. And it's not arbitrary. There's no neutral ground. You either got it in reverse or forward, one way or the other. So it depends on what you want to do. And that old husband just keeps calling up. Come on, let's go out tonight. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to learn God's Word. Well, let's go have us a party. Let's go get drunk. Or let's go commit adultery. Or let's go do so and so. Let's don't read God's Word. Let's don't pray. Well, you don't want to do that. Well, I'll inconvenience you just a little bit. Why? You may miss something on television. La-dee-da. You know? Or maybe you ought to stay home and study God's Word. Well, you might just miss something down there. Real or wherever it's going on. I'm sure you're going to miss a whole lot. Let me tell you. We listen to one or the other, and we court one or the other. The seventh verse. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? If we're married to the law and the law produces death, are we married to sin? God forbid. He says the law has a purpose. The law has a place. Nay, I had not known sin. I didn't know I had an old sin nature. I didn't know I was married to a pig. But by the law, that's the only way I understood that I had a pig nature within me. That's the only way I knew I was producing sin. I would not know it was wrong to commit adultery if the Bible hadn't said so. Did you know that? The only way you know adultery is wrong is by the Bible. And of course, people that don't believe the Bible, then adultery is all right. In fact, I understand we have a professor out at the university who says it is perfectly all right. In fact, a man ought to do it every once in a while. Well, if you don't believe the Bible, you might as well go ahead, because the Bible is the only place we learn about this. We only learn from God. In fact, the only way we have any morals at all is from God. And if you don't believe in, if you believe in morals, you've got to believe in God. Because He's the one that gave them. He's the one that told us about them. Otherwise, we would never have them. None. And you can take your society and have no morals. And you know what happens to you in the final analysis? Why, then abortion's all right. Not only that, but when you get to be 65, you're past productive age, so we'll just kill you off and just burn you up too with the rest of them. And that's what abortion leads to. If it's all right to abort, then it's all right to kill old people. Now, you think about that just a moment when you go to voting for abortion and when we okay abortion. And old people are unproductive. They're not in God's will, so forget it. And let's just kill them all off. Now, I want you to know something. My mama's over 65, and nobody's going to kill her. If you do, you're going to kill this one along with it. Now, I mean that. I believe in old people. Because I've got a mother who's old. And I love her dearly. Sorry. But that's what we're saying. Now, I don't know how I got off on that, but I'm sorry. We have an old sin nature. We're married to it. He said, I would have known the law, for I had not known covetousness except that word concupiscence is coveting. Mark. Just means to covet. Except the law says, thou shalt not covet. Now, the only way I know it, that it was wrong to covet, is by the law. See? God gave us the law. He told us it was wrong to covet. And we wouldn't even know it was wrong if the Bible had not said it. That's the only place in the world you'll ever find out that it's wrong to covet. If the Bible hadn't said it, it would have been all right. But God is wrong, and God says you can't do it. Paul says, now, I learned it from this. You see, covetousness is on the inside. Nobody can tell what I covet. You see, no one knows whether I wish I could sing like Stanley or not. Well, every time he stands up and leads singing, you don't know whether I want to do that or not. Now, maybe I do it, maybe I don't. Maybe I wish I was like him and I could just really lead the thing. You don't know. Maybe he wish he could preach like I do, too. Now, if I wish I had his talent, he wish he had mine, that's wrong. But the only way we know this is on the inside, and you're the only one can know that. And Paul knew that he was a covetous person because the law says you're not covetous. So sin taken occasion by the commandments. You see, I had the commandments. And the sin came, it was wrought in me in all manner of coveting, for apart from the law, sin is dead. No sin if you don't have the law. For I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Boy, when I looked at the law and I saw what the law was really saying, I saw how exceedingly sinful I was and how I couldn't do it on my own. See? And the commandment that was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. I thought that commandment would give me life, but I found it didn't do anything to give me death. You know, people think you got to keep the commandments to get to heaven. No, the commandments will just condemn you, just send you to hell. What gives you life? The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will give you life. Ye shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. What's the truth? The Lord Jesus. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is Easter. And Easter's not even here yet. Easter's every day in the year. 365 and a fourth days in the year, we have Easter. Resurrection. Because what I thought to be the life was the death. But sin, taken occasion by the commandments, deceived me, and by it slew me. You see, the sin, the old sin nature slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments holy, just, and good. You see, the commandments do have a purpose. The commandments to show us how sinful we are, how we're married to a pig, and we are helpless, and we're hopeless. And what will that do? Just like in your salvation, it made you, when you realized you was hopeless and helpless, you couldn't save yourself, you fled to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you trusted his death, burial, and resurrection as a payment for your sin. That gave you forever life. Now, have you ever fled to him? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you ever believed that he died in your place and paid for your sin, and that by simple faith in him, you don't perish, but you have forever life? You see, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world, that includes you. He gave his only begotten Son for what? To go to the cross and die. That whosoever believeth in the Emmanuel Baptist Church, is that what it says? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everybody who believes in the fact that they walk down an aisle and join a church shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Is that what it says? Everybody that's baptized shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What is it? That whosoever believeth in him. You see, your faith is in who? Jesus Christ. It's not even in praying. And whosoever prays, no. It's whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I want you to understand it clearly. What the Bible says, that's not my opinion. The Bible says when you believe in him, you do not go to hell, but you have everlasting life. Have you ever trusted him? If you haven't, you can right now, right where you sit. Will you do that? Will you believe on him as your Savior?